We moved up in March last year and had always hoped and dreamed that this would happen, and it's happened, you know, a bit after a year later, so we're very excited about it. My name's Jamie McMaster and we're at Yamboona, and we're on a lagoon that's just recently flooded.
Floodwaters moving through a region can do a lot of damage to homes, crops and infrastructure, but they can also do a lot of good, like in this wetland area in the lower Goulburn River region of northern Victoria. Hi, I'm Warwick Long. When Jamie McMaster and his family moved to this property near Echuca last year, this lagoon in front of his home was bone dry. Now it's brimming with water and teeming with life.
We've jumped in the tinny and we're taking a cruise around quite an amazing natural wonder, really, in front of your house. Jamie, tell me a little bit about it.
Well, it's a lagoon that's been dry for at least 6 years, as we understand it. But when it's been wet, it's been quite a harbour for a lot of native birds and even pelicans, we understand, from the neighbours that share the boundary of the lagoon with us. Just to see the biodiversity come to life, the wildlife was just incredible. The birds just came from nowhere, and it was just, they just knew it was a happening place and they wanted to be here. And there's a lot more frog activity, that's for sure. The frogs sort of started coming out of the soil before the floodwaters came up almost. They just knew. It's incredible that we as human beings have lost touch with what happens in the ecosystem, but the native animals seem to know. So that was pretty exciting. We've got a canoe here, and obviously we're in a tinny today, which is a bit exciting. But even the kids are getting out there in the canoe and learning about things. We're learning to understand the frog calls and different things. So they're enjoying it too. Red gum wetlands like this are unique to northern Victoria and southern New South Wales. And to be part of that now is really good. And we've got lots of area land around this property around the edge of this lagoon that we hope to put into native vegetation and dedicate to seeing some endangered species prosper and do well.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about having an environmental asset on what is essentially private property, that you're keen to work with government to make sure that this is looked after, like, say, some of the other areas that are in National Park are looked after.
Well, that's right. Well, we just hit a log. We've been working with Parks Victoria and obviously the CMA to do a joint strategy on trying to enhance the ecosystem, control weeds. There's a lot of work to do. We've got years of work to do in this area. But we'd like to be able to work together to get more diversity and biodiversity in this area. There are some species that just aren't here at the moment, and they used to be here, and it's because of perhaps grazing, because of land clearing and some of those things. So we hope to work to re-establish some of those species.
It's been, as you mentioned, and the reason why we're here is it's been an incredibly wet winter into spring. What's it been like for the rest of your property and just living out here?
Well, I work in agriculture, and this is the wettest winter that many of the farmers that I work with have seen since 1993. It literally has been. There's been some hardship associated with the wet. There are a lot of crops that have been inundated. Those sorts of things are happening. But we're also, the farmers are fairly optimistic that these high rainfall events are setting up the catchments for 3 and 4 years ahead, which means that we've got some good water security. And those areas, broadacre areas that haven't been inundated with floodwaters, they're going to see some amazing crops this year. There's some amazing crops out there. So we're pretty excited about what that might look like for the farmers. So I'll get you a bit closer.
Someone else who's pretty excited to see the floodwaters is Simon Casanelia from the Goulburn Broken Catchment Management Authority. His eyes are darting everywhere, and there's a sense of excitement as we watch this region come to life with bugs, birds, and an array, really, of other plants and animals. Why is he so excited? He's in charge of environmental water flows for these wetland areas.
It's an exciting time. These floods certainly have brought the floodplains and the river and the wetlands alive.
How full is the catchment? How full are all little wetlands like this that we may have never heard of at the moment?
Yeah, well, we expect, obviously, with the recent flows that we've had down the Golden River, that the majority of the wetlands along the floodplain are probably inundated and full and not looking too dissimilar to this one.
And what's that doing for the environment?
Floods are fantastic. They're sort of really important to the health and functioning of riverine ecosystems, be it the broader floodplain itself, the wetlands and the river. They bring sediment and nutrients and organic material and bacteria and algae back into the river channel itself, which is a great food source for fish and water bugs. And it also allows us sediment to move around and to be deposited or be eroded, which creates new habitat. Trees falling over is also particularly important. That also provides new habitat. Flooding also stimulates a whole lot of different ecological responses. We see fish spawn and migrate. We see birds start to breed. We see turtles breed also. And we also see macroinvertebrates emerge and tadpoles emerge and plants germinate, grow and establish. So it's an amazing time.
And speaking of which, are you keeping an eye on it? Are you monitoring what's happening at some of these sites?
Yeah, we're certainly monitoring, the ecological responses in a number of our key wetlands across the catchment. So we're looking at those various responses we talked about, be it the birds and the frogs and the vegetation, and see how they're responding to the watering. Yeah, so we'll probably do this through until December, when we'll see, the majority of the water will probably sort of recede by then.
What's the plan from here? Do you top some sites up with environmental water? Do you let them all just sort of go through this natural process? What does this timing of this flood event mean for how you manage it?
Yeah, we only can deliver water to only a small number of wetlands in our catchment, about five or six in total. We'd probably unlikely to deliver water to them unless there's some sort of need. For instance, if there's some sort of breeding, water bird breeding event, and the water started to recede too quickly, then we might consider delivering some water to maintain water levels. But otherwise, I think we'll probably just let the natural processes take place.